dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello and welcome to show 164 of SBC Sports Talk. I am Bruce Knox. And I will get to introduce the other person that's with me tonight in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you that we are brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Give them a call at 740-773-PLAY. That's 740-773-7529. They're located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, just behind the Hampton Inn, just off of Bridge Street. Open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. They've got all your goody eats. They've got room for parties and events, sports, arcade, the super inflatable land, and of course you can even contact them about inflatable rentals. You can find out more on the web at www.TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. And we appreciate their sponsorship of us, what, in the sixth year there, Shane?
Yeah, sixth year.
Yeah, can't believe it. It's time flies when you're having fun. And I would like to introduce Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com. And we're kind of doing it, not solo, but a duo this week instead of a triple, because Mr. Derek Webb of the Chillicothe Gazette is in absentia, I believe.
Yeah, he had to... take part in a wedding up in Cleveland. I was joking, saying that I think it was just his closet way of getting to go maybe watch a Browns game after he watched Notre Dame play last night. Yeah. And he picked against Ohio State, and then he's a big Bengals fan, so I was really worried about him after 24 hours of that football stretch.
He's not had a good time. I checked his Twitter feed a little bit ago just to make sure he's still alive. Hasn't done anything rash or anything like that after, you know, picking against the Buckeyes, and then the Bengals didn't fare so well, and the Browns didn't either, but if it's true what he says, he really doesn't care about the Browns, but who knows. And he is still alive. He's still tweeting somewhere between here and Cleveland, I think. So we wanted to give him a hard time a little bit because he is not here. But while he isn't, that gives us a chance to talk about him. And so I just wondered, Shane, as we think about that, what do you think he's contributed to us? Obviously he's a fun guy to be around. He knows his stuff. I think he's kind of helped out the podcast here.
I don't think there's any question. I think what's so neat about adding him to the show is the fact that you take a guy who has great knowledge. And he shares a common goal with me, which is to spread attention to the SVC, to the schools, to the athletes. But then I think what really helps is he gives a little bit of a younger, different perspective sometimes on a topic, or, you know, maybe the way he goes about seeing something. I can't help but when I do this, still do it a little bit, well, really all as a coach. And if you think about it, Bruce, the people I've had with me on here, they're coaches, mm-hmm. they're administrators, they're longtime educators. And Derek brings a little bit more of the true media sense. You hear me say all the time, I don't really consider myself a person of the media. He brings a little bit more of a media coverage and some different things there. So while we share a lot of the same interests and a lot of the same common goals, I think there's just enough of a difference there that is really made for some fun discussions. I know I've really enjoyed being with them on the round table on Wednesday nights and then having him here with us on the weekend in the SVC Sports Talk studio.
And you guys have actually disagreed on a few things too.
Sure, which is fun, and, yeah. And I think it's generated some conversation. I know I've shared a lot of it on the air, but, you know, obviously I have a lot of opportunities to talk to a lot of different peoples, a lot of different age groups, and it's a fun thing, and I think it's really adding to the show.
Yep. Well, we want to get into stuff. Why don't you tell us about Crown Hill Golf Club? And know there was a match out there not too long ago.
Yeah, it makes sense with all the support Crown Hill Golf Club gives us and the role that they're playing in the SVC Golf League over the past week here, to maybe start with a shout out to them. Crown Hill Golf Club, give them a call at 740-986-4653. You can also check them out. They have a great website. You can also check them out, golfnow.com. A lot of times they'll have deals on there. You can get deals on our website too. I'm constantly posting on there. So always keep Crown Hill Golf Club in mind. And Bruce, the reason I start with them this week is they did give us a chance to put our kids in our league kind of on the headline there in SVC match number 5. Mm-hmm. The league started, and this is a unique week because of, remember, the golf leagues had some crazy weather patterns this year. So if you go back earlier in the week, it was SVC match number 4 at River's Edge. River's Edge is always an exciting match because it's probably the easiest course the league plays, and the scoring is usually really low, and it certainly was that night. Uniota had their best chance to get piked in that night as Uniota comes in at 150. But the story that night, Bruce, was Steven Zimmerman with 32 wins the medal honors with Graham Moore and Blakeman there at 38. Even a Clifford, Jamie Clifford shoots 38 and they drop it. So, you know, you've heard me say it over and over, the depth that Uniota usually plays with, because Uniota that night played really, really well. It's kind of piked and using that this year to put themselves well out in front, and it looks like they're on their way. Later in the week, in fact, one night later, they were at Crown Hill Golf Club, and that's why I wanted to give them the shout out there. And obviously, when they go to Crown Hill, Crown Hill's probably, in my opinion, the nicest course that they play. Some will argue some other ones, but, you know, in my opinion, Crown Hill offers us the nicest track that the kids get to go out and play. And piked and still very, very respectful, 155 that night. They were 7 strokes better. And, yeah, the scoring naturally went up a little bit, but it's always interesting when you go to those tougher courses to see how the cream kind of rises to the top there. You see Pike and Uniota, some of those kids. Naturally, Westfall had a couple kids play well in their home course there. But you'll see a lot of the scores go up slightly more times than not. Not all cases, but most time. And that's where we're at. So, you know, Piketon, well in control of the team standings. But I guess what I would encourage the fans to take a look at is our Good Health Chiropractic Center SVC Golf Individual Leaderboard. And that's found down at the bottom of our golf page. And I think what jumps out at me is if I look at those last 7 or 8 kids, you have JC's left, and then you have an 18 hole. I believe the league is settled on Portsmouth Elks, a new course we're going to try out. Remember, our league does the 18 hole finale, mm-hmm. where they count the front 9 as a SVC match 7 and the back 9 SVC 8. I'm not crazy about that format, never have been. Not crazy about some of the scoring, but nonetheless, it's how our league does it. And our league does do a good job with the organization of our golf league. So, but I guess the reason I mention that is you have 5-6 kids down here at the bottom of this leaderboard, where when you drop the lowest score, they don't have a lot of room for error because they're dropping some pretty bad golf scores when it comes to all league golfers. I see a 55, 51, 51, 48. So not a lot of room for error. And I think that's going to be the exciting finish here with the good player of the year race at the top of that, and then people fighting for some all league spots at the bottom. So just wanted to start the show there with a little shout out to Crown Hill Golf Club, and while doing so, it just made sense to start there. Well, in fact, later in our Hurry Up Offense, Bruce, I know we'll be talking a little bit more about Piketon.
Right. Well, fans, we have a lot of football to talk about throughout the show, but next we look at the league's biggest win of the week and perhaps the biggest in over 20 years for the program that got it. Before we get into anything, I want to remind you that we, of course, are brought to you each and every podcast by C&K Athletic Equipment as well. They can be found at 116 East High Street in Circleville. Give them a call, 740-477-9828. And they, too, are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12, and they are closed on Sunday. You can look them up on the web, www.cnkathleticequipment.com. And, Shane, we want to just talk now about Southeastern enjoying a great breakthrough win this week.
It really was. When you think of Southeastern volleyball, you knew they were getting better. Coach Hutton doing a nice job. The level of volleyball certainly improved in that program over the last 2 years. But this is a completely different type of step, Bruce. I mean, you're talking here. You could start to argue it's been 20, 25 years since the program had the type of win they ended up getting over Uniota this past Thursday night. I had a chance to see Southeastern on both the league nights this week. I went down to Piketon on Tuesday, then out to Southeastern on Thursday, and really starting to come on. They also went on the win twice over the weekend, so they're 11-3 now. But Uniota was able to pull away at the end of that first set to 25-19, but then Southeastern comes back 25-23. Again, it looks like Uniota is going to take control. It was almost a carbon copy, but the opposite way, Bruce, from our live call of the Uniota-Adena match.
Yeah.
And then it was Southeastern coming back 25-19 and then 15-13. And I tell you, obviously you want to start with Southeastern and give them all the credit in the world. Ella Skeens was the best player on the floor all night. She really was. Her improved volleyball skill, she's always been able to get off the floor, Bruce, and really attack and hit the ball with some force. But her overall volleyball skills improving. Her serve is starting to come on. Her serve receive and her ability to play the back row is just vastly improved from a year ago. And when she gets off the floor, Uniota presents a pretty big block, and at times Uniota was able to get the double block there. But when she can get off the floor and hit it at her highest point, it's really just a no contest. Mm-hmm. She started across the front row there early in so many sets, and it seemed like Southeastern was jumping out 4-0, 5-0, 6-1 all night long. And that's just kind of the way the momentum went. I don't think the energy in the gym was quite the same as what I would describe it when Derek and I were over at Adena. Mm-hmm. But once you got into the fourth and fifth set and Southeastern started to go, I will say that the energy in the gym really, really picked up, and they started to feed off of it, as the case a lot of times in these upsets, if you will. The favorite starts to tighten up a little bit. I thought Uniota served the ball as poorly as I've seen him serve it in the last couple of years. I think that 84 digs in the Adena match.
Yeah.
Here's a five-set match as well, where, man, I don't even know if they had half of that. They were only 82 and 91 in serve receive compared to 100 to 103 of 103 there in the Adena win. They just didn't seem like they had the same spark, didn't have the same energy. They didn't play with the same, I hate to say effort, because, I mean, you feel like they're trying hard. It just didn't seem like they had that passion or that extra pep in their step across the back line or getting there in time on their blocks and so forth. But I think you have to give that credit to Southeastern. I mean, they start, when you get that momentum and you start to play hard, we Skeens with the 22 kills, but then it's kind of Uniota-like, that Heiss, Collins, and a couple other kids are in double figure. Boldy, Sierra DeLong, they all had seven or more kills, many of them in double figures. So it's that balance that comes along, and it was just an exciting thing that to watch and be a part of. So I'll tell you what, let's take a look at some of our post game, Bruce. I know we have a lot of it. The first conversation I had is I just wanted to go straight to the head coach, who's doing such a great job there, and talk to Jimmy Hutton. Here's what Coach Hutton had to say after the match.
Well, Coach, before I get to some details about the match, I can't help but start by just asking you to kind of tell me what's going through your head right now after such an exciting win.
What's going through my head is the same thing that's going through my girls' heads right now. I can't remember the last time we beat Uniota. Mr. Steyer, the principal, just walked up, shook my hand, and said, "That's got to be the best volleyball win in Southeastern history."
Wow. Well, you know, let's talk about how we arrived here tonight. You know, it seemed like early on you had a lot of success with Elle in the front row, and each set you started out quickly. Then when she went to the back, it seemed like you got out of system a little bit. Obviously, Uniota's depth is their number one strength. They were able to get into a lot of favorable matchups. What do you feel like changed when we got somewhere in that fourth set and the momentum started to swing in your favor?
Well, I told the girls, I said, you know, we got to play better defense. And I really got hard on my setter because she was dragging her feet and being lazy. I actually got on her. I got on one of my defensive players, Courtney. I got in her face and told her, I said, you got to pass the ball. You got to pass the ball. Lauren, you got to move your feet. You got to play defense. And I think that was the turnaround. They realized that, you know, once these other players chip in, that we can play as a team and play defense and have an offensive attack.
Well, I thought that was a real fair assessment on your part, because I was saying some of the same stuff. You know, early on, I thought Lauren was really struggling to see where she wanted to go with the ball. But, man, I give her credit, because we forget sometimes how young she is. Give her credit. In the fourth and fifth set, I thought she did an incredible job of understanding how many times Ella needed to touch it, yet a couple times she used the back set, got Jess an open net, and a couple other hitters there. Just talk about her growth at such a young age.
Yeah, she's still a baby, sophomore. We've been working real hard with her to be the quarterback on the court, making the right decisions at the right time. There in that last set, she made a bad decision. I let her know about that. When she tipped the ball, I said, you got to set your hitters. I said, you got three big hitters on that. You got to give it to them. But I am really, really happy with the way she distributed the ball across the net. You got to do that when you got the hitters.
Well, last question here. I'll let you go celebrate. I understand all year long, you and I talk a lot of volleyball, and, you know, you've talked about some goals and different things, but, you know, here we are at the halfway point. I can't remember the last time in the league four different teams felt like they had a chance to win this thing at the halfway point, which is exciting for our league. But expectation-wise, does it change a little bit? Do you start to, you know, allow those thoughts to creep in your mind? I know we had talked top four, but at this point, you know, you feel like when you take one step, you want to take another one, don't you?
Yeah, you know, our main goal, I told the girls in the locker room before the game tonight, is, you know, Uniota is undefeated. Adina is not going to get the golden volleyball. I said, if we're not going to get it, I said, nobody is. And we made sure of that tonight.
Well, that's congratulations, and best of luck to you the rest of the luck.
Again, that's Coach Hutt and Southeastern Lady Panthers following their big win against Uniota. And, you know, Bruce, with a kid like Ella Skeens, she's so talented. I talked about her a little bit before the interview there. Mm-hmm. With the 22 kills, the three aces, the 15 digs, they're utilizing her in so many different ways. And she's such a special talent. But beyond her, and sometimes you take a special kid for granted, beyond her, it's so important at the setter position that your setter grow. When you look at Maddie Everts of Uniota, we've highlighted her on the show so many times, and rightfully so. Laney Shea at Adina, and what those two elite kids do for their elite programs. Well, Southeastern starts to develop the depth across their front line with the likes of Skylar Heiss, Rachel Collins, Jess Boldy, Sierra DeLong. There's so many different places you can go with the ball other than just Skeens. But it's such a hard thing to do, as you heard me talk to Coach about, balancing a little bit of making sure Skeens gets enough opportunities to take over the match the way she did the other night, but at the same time recognizing when I can get some of the other kids involved. And so we got the coach's perspective. The next person we went to was straight to the source, the setter, Lauren Goble, and here's what the sophomore had to say.
Well, Lauren, first of all, I know you make some of the change from last year to this year, and now you're kind of quarterbacking the offense, and you know, sometimes we forget how young you are. I was just talking to the coach about that, and I've seen such a growth in you just from the start of the year till now. I guess just talk to me a little bit about your comfort level in terms of where you're at in terms of playing the setter position compared to, say, a few weeks back.
Honestly, I've been, like, 100% more comfortable. Paul came and helped me out, and it just takes a team, honestly. It takes so much. I have so much support now with Paulie and Jimmy both. I'm just way more comfortable than a freshman year.
Well, obviously, you know, Ella's a special athlete, but Southeastern's hitting attack is really where the growth of your team's come is how many different hitters you've had across the front line. Is it a tricky thing for you to balance trying to make sure Ella gets enough touches while still spreading the ball out? Because I thought you made a couple nice back sets to get Justin open that tonight and so forth. Just talk to about just trying to make sure that you control that balance with such an elite player like Ella, but trying to get everybody involved.
Yeah, I've always been told to spread it across the net no matter how bad or how good the pass is, and that's honestly all we practice, and we just are getting better and better each game.
Well, it's an exciting time for your program. Congratulations and best of luck the rest of the way out.
Thank you so much.
Again, that's sophomore Lauren Goebel. You'll find her on our Dean of Sports Medicine SVC volleyball leaders right there toward the top in assists per set or per game played. Maddie Eberts on our last update, Bruce, was at 10.3 with Goebel just behind her at 10 per. So certainly the other night when you play in a five-set thriller and you dish out, 56 assists? That certainly doesn't hurt that average.
No.
But you know, she was a pretty impressive young lady there, Bruce. A lot of times, we keep in mind, just a sophomore.
Yeah.
Speaking on SVC Sports Talk, real impressed how she had given her coaches credit. You heard the pronoun we several mm-hmm. times. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of those leadership intangibles we talk about is obviously very important in such an important position.
Well,
you know,
spoken, too.
Yes, yes. And I mentioned we've obviously know how special Ella is, and we kind of wanted to leave her alone. I think I don't want to say for certain, but I believe she had some basketball coaches there watching her play that night, and I didn't want to get in the way of that, and I wanted to use the opportunity to spread across the roster and really hear from some different people. And when it comes to leadership, wanted to talk to one of the older Lady Panthers here. Let's go to Danica Moore next.
Well, Danica, first of all, congratulations. I know it's a big win for the program. I guess with you being a senior, the first question I should ask you is, as you've grown through the volleyball program, what's it mean to you personally just to get an opportunity to be a part of something like this tonight and to celebrate it with your teammates?
It means a lot to me. We haven't really beaten yet of the years that I've been in high school, so to do it my senior year and them being undefeated, it means a lot. And just to have us work together and actually be as one and win, it's a good feeling.
In terms of the level of volleyball, I mean, you can just see it from a fan's perspective. You guys obviously are playing a higher level of volleyball than you did a couple years back, and really even from last year. From a player's perspective, what are one or two things that jump out at you that you would describe to the fans as a difference in Southeastern volleyball from now to, say, you know, when you were a freshman, sophomore?
I'd say the difference now is definitely attitude, and our passing has gotten a lot better, and just being a team, because last year most of us, we didn't really get along, but this year we're like one big family, so it's easier.
Well, congratulations on the big win. Best of luck to you the rest of the way out.
Okay, thank you.
Again, Danica Moore there, a senior Southeastern Lady Panthers, and again, Bruce, very well spoken. Mm-hmm. You can see a lot of the different ways these young ladies carry themselves and how they've really matured up through the program. And one thing I think is impressive, you heard Derek and I talk about it with the Uniota group. When you start to bring up younger pieces, and some of those younger pieces are playing really important roles. Obviously, we just mentioned one being the 5-1 setter. We mentioned Skeens. Now, even though she's a junior, becoming arguably one of, if not the best player in the league, and taking over some matches. It's impressive to me how these seniors will take the role that Coach Hutton's asking them to take and take it with an attitude of team first. And another one of those young sophomores at the net providing some of the depth is Jess Boldy, and she was the next one we had a chance to catch up with.
Just the first thing I would say is just how exciting it's got to be from the program. So before we talk about the actual match tonight, just talk to me about the feeling of Southeastern volleyball and the excitement level you guys have at this point.
We got down a couple times, but when we got up, we got so excited. Like, we had so much energy, and we knew we could have beat them. So every time we got down, we'd always come together, regroup, and build ourselves back up and add more points.
You know, really, when you watch you guys play over last year and into this year, the level of volleyball has certainly picked way up. What would you say is one or two things that jump out at you that is different about Southeastern volleyball, say last year to this year, in just terms of the level of volleyball you're playing?
Well, last year it was kind of rough. Like, we never talked, we never looked at anybody, we never got up. So this year we decided that after every point, no matter if we missed the point or got the point, we'd always come together and get the next one.
Well, certainly it shows up a lot. I thought you played with great emotion in the fourth and fifth set tonight. Congratulations on the win, and best of luck to you and your team the rest of the way out.
Yes, thank you.
You know, Bruce, one thing I was thinking about as Jess was talking there, remember a couple weeks back here, we had Coach Hutton on talking about our topic of celebration and sports and energy and so forth. Yeah. We talked about how in volleyball it was so crucial. It was such an important part of having some energy and so forth. And what she's talking about is so true. A lot of times it is forced at first. You have to do it on purpose. And then after a while, it starts to become a habit and it starts to spread. Yes. And it's not just the good times when the momentum's rolling. Sometimes it'll get you through a tough spot when you're down 1-0 to Uniota or down 2-1 to Uniota, and all of a sudden you're able to fight back into a fifth set. So that was something I really liked. I think that's something Jess said very well in terms of their attitude and their energy level from last year to this year. We had one more player interview, and it was their freshman, Skylar Heiss. And this one's a really important one, Bruce, because if we're going to talk about one of the biggest difference from last year to this year, let's go ahead and be honest, from a talent level, you know, Skylar was playing in the eighth grade last year.
Right.
So her being on the roster, you're talking about a kid that plays all the way around. She's an elite hitter, very improved defender from last year, even though an improved defender from when I watched her about 2 weeks ago. And then she can serve. Her volleyball IQ is really, really good. So make no mistake about it, Skylar Heiss is quickly becoming an elite player in this league. She's got a lot to do with the Southeastern's improvement. And here's what she had to say to me after the match.
Well, Skylar, the first thing I would say is congratulations to you and your team, and just tell me a little bit about how exciting it is to play in this atmosphere tonight and get a chance to be a part of a quality win like that.
There's no other feeling like it. If you love volleyball, this is the game to be at and to play in.
Well, I've had a chance, even though you're a freshman, I've had a chance to watch you play at some of the younger levels and come up through. And I think as I've watched you now from the junior high level, it's your all-around game that's improved. You've always been able to get up at the net and hit, but I've really watched your all-around volleyball game improve. Just talk to me about the biggest adjustment in your mind jumping from the junior high level to now the varsity level in a league like the SVC.
It's definitely the passing. You know, Coach always stresses you got to pass the ball to win games. And I think coming up, it's a lot harder, but once you get used to it, you're fine.
Well, obviously, one of Uniota's biggest strengths has been their depth. And you know, obviously, Ellie gets a lot of attention, and rightfully so. But the thing that's made Southeastern continue to grow is players like yourself, Collins, Bolton, coming on at the net and giving Southeastern that same type of attack. Where do you feel like your team's at in terms of getting the balanced attack at the net, say now compared to a few weeks back?
I feel like we're just really clicking up at the net. Our blocking's got a lot better. Our hitting, we're becoming more accurate, a lot less mistakes. We're just really putting up a big block, and it's affecting teams.
Well, I know it's a really exciting time for the program. Congratulations, and best of luck to you and your team the rest of the way out.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Again, those are just some of the Lady Panthers I had a chance to talk to after their big win over Uniota, and oftentimes we give a lot of the attention to an Ellis Keynes, Rachel Cobb. Another one. Just thought I'd try to get a chance to catch up with some of the other girls, get to know them a little bit. Morgan Wilson plays a key role for him. Courtney Bennett. Sierra DeLong is a very, very important piece. She comes over from Edina last year. Had some illness early in the year that kind of slowed her progress. She's starting to become more comfortable. She's a kid that is capable of posting some big numbers. So, yeah, this is a group at 11-3. They're one match back. Mm-hmm. The three-way tie of Huntington, Edina, and Uniota. Edina and Huntington will play to finish out the first round. So things will continue to sort itself out. But I just really enjoyed that, Bruce. We highlighted the Uniota-Edina match so well, and rightfully so, that this was a pretty big deal, and I felt like it needed to be one of our feature stories this week. And really happy for Coach Hutton and his girls, and enjoyed having the chance to talk to them.
Sounded like a good game to watch the other night.
Absolutely, yeah. Yep.
Well, fans, up next we turn our attention to football. Last week we said it would be a tough call. So next, I'll ask Shane what he learned this past Friday night. just like we said before the bump music, we would start talking about SVC football. It is our time. Week four started league play. So, Shane, what did you learn from week four?
I learned that even though it was tough to call, you still kind of felt like some of the same favorites from last year were going to win. But remember how much we talked about the parity and how much we thought the gap had closed. I think I have some things for the fans that really illustrate that, if I can take just a second. What I did was I went back on our archives and we looked back at last week for week four, the same matchups.
Last year, you mean?
Yeah, last year, I'm sorry. And I want to just read a couple scores to you here. Paint Valley, 40-6. Zane Trace, 63-0. Piketon, 38-3. Adena 42-7. So now we come back this year. Paint Valley 21-6. Adena 38-32. Piketon did win 43-15. Zane Trace 36-20. But as you start to look through the games, they were obviously closer as you followed the updates throughout Friday night. But really, as you start to break down the stats and you start to break down the games, you find that if you had a chance to really watch them and talk to people, they were even closer than some of the scores appear. Let's go ahead and start with Paint Valley Huntington. Paint Valley at 21-6, they return the opening kickoff for a touchdown. They later get a special team touchdown from the punt return. It was Austin Blevins on the kickoff return, Cruz McFadden on the punt return. So right there was two of their three touchdowns. So throughout the night, I saw a stat that was talking about, I want to say Huntington ran almost 30 more plays and nearly doubled them up in total yardage. But again, those two special teams score. On the night, Paint Valley really got after Elijah McCloskey, but Huntington had some success on the ground. Gavin Snyder was outstanding. I mean, he had 25 rushes, 148 yards and a TD. He really had some success in the middle there. But in the end, it was just Paint Valley's defense and special teams. Keep in mind, Bruce, Paint Valley was really challenged going into this last week after the Memphis performance where they thought they just didn't play very hard.
Right.
They pressured Elijah McCloskey, picked him off three times. McFadden had one of them. Buster Trent had one. And then Jay Riley, who was outstanding. You know, Bruce, Jay Riley's probably underappreciated of players we have in our league. You're talking about a kid last year as a junior in their playoff game against Frederickstown, had, I believe, somewhere between 15 to 20 tackles. You know, the other night he has he has an interception. He's just so steady. I mean, he plays his spot, and he knows his assignment. Smart kid, good kid. So, yeah, I mean, just a nice performance from the Paint Valley defense and special teams as they win it. That was a pretty competitive football game when you consider from last year. And then you go on down the list, you get some of the same things. I mean, Westfall led 18-6 before the lightning delay. Then Adena up 22-18. Adena wins at 38-32. Big night for Jake Dawson, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. Now, Piketon did kind of get out early, but in fairness to Southeastern, they played pretty competitive early. They lost one of their running backs to an injury early on. So we talked about their depth at that position takes a hit. And then Berkheimer and Veach were just so special. I think Travis Veach was 7 receptions, 197 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And they were plays of 10, 29, and 74. And then you get the Barker kid, add in 100 yards and 3 scores on the ground. And you start getting that big three on the Piketon offense, and they can really go. So, you know, yeah, Piketon did pull away, but I don't think anyone would doubt knowing that Southeastern's a much better football team than they were a year ago. And then the last one, we're talking 63-0 last year. I mean, Zay Trace's starters last year had their pads off after halftime. They're probably wondering where they're going to go eat. You know, this year in the third quarter, Uniota cuts the lead, Bruce, to 22-20. So, I mean, you're talking pretty deep into the game there where it's a one-possession game. And in the end, it was just the Zane Trace offensive line and their fine running quarterback, Austin Harris, that had the 200-plus yards, 4 touchdowns, and just a special, special player with a special performance. But again, I hope looking from last year to this year that people can kind of catch what I'm trying to say there in terms of, yeah, those four teams still might be a little bit better, but they certainly have had the gap closed, and it's making for some much better football, at least from a fan's perspective, to watch.
Is any of this, Shane, about the evolution of these quarterbacks and in the quarterback position now that they've had some experience? You mentioned Dawson, Berkheimer, and Harris, I believe they're talking about those.
Yeah, I think that's extremely fair because, I mean, look at the Dawson kid at Edina. He impacted the game in so many different ways, Bruce. In a 38-32 win, he rushes 16 times for over 100 yards and a couple scores. He was 5-7 passing through a touchdown. And then on defense, he had 3 picks. Mm-hmm. He returned one of those for a touchdown. So, you know, obviously he's stepping in. And you start to get into week 4, week 5, you get these athletes who are playing quarterback and taking on some more responsibility and some different roles, and you start to see them kind of evolve a little bit. Berkheimer kid, such a special talent, what he can do. His last 3 weeks have been off the charts. As, again, as I mentioned a second ago, he throws 3 more touchdowns. And then obviously Harris, he's a kid that when he runs the football is pretty dynamic. He's fast. With the breakaway speed, but it's his quickness and his ability to make you miss. So, yeah, he presents quite a challenge, and he's starting to get 2 or 3 running backs come on board. So, you know, we've talked about some of those other quarterbacks. Obviously, Clay Edler's been as good as anybody at that position to start the year. But
yeah.
In terms of some of the older quarterbacks, sure, some of the older quarterbacks that are starting to really step up and take the leadership role that I'm sure their coaches want them to take. Yeah, the quarterbacks were really good in some wins this week.
Well, the other side of that coin is that there's got to be some other quarterbacks learning how to deal with adversity early in their career, though.
Well, I think a great example of this, Bruce, is just look at the other winning quarterback this week, Bryce Newland of Paint Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a kid, as a freshman, you start playing quarterback in Bainbridge. People that aren't around Paint Valley, they may not know exactly what that means, but it's not the easiest thing to do to lose a football game as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. that makes for a tough week because it's one of those things where Paint Valley is not a program where they hold your hand and say, well, if you can just go 3-7, 4 and say, no, that's unacceptable. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those where, you know, Coach Holland, Coach Boggs, really the whole entire school district, they don't care if Bryce is a freshman or not. If Coach Holland thinks Bryce is the best quarterback, then they expect Bryce Newland to come in and go 9-1, 10-0, and go to playoffs. Right, I mean, that's the expectation. So, you know, no matter how you play, when you come off of a loss, that's a difficult thing. You start to maybe get some criticism for the first time, and that's just part of being the starting quarterback. And I just thought he was terrific the other night. He was so poised. He had come out one time, even used his feet to catch Huntington off guard and move the chains. It was just kind of a game he was managing a little bit because they got out early. But then when they needed to stick the dagger in right before the half, he hooked up with a fellow classmate there, Cruz McFadden, on a 52-yard score. And according to Coach Holland and Coach Boggs, that was a play he changed at the line of scrimmage. So, again, it tells you that they have a lot of confidence in this young man. So the reason I bring him up is he goes through that adversity and responds a little bit. Think about how good Elijah McCloskey or Elaine Ruby's been at Huntington and Southeastern in the early going. You know, they've had a lot of their great points. Then they go through a little bit of adversity. You know, Ruby loses there at Southeastern for the first time, and they're now at 3-1. They'll try to regroup and go. Elijah McCloskey's had a really good year so far. It's a situation where, man, Paint Valley really got after him the other night and forced him out of the pocket a little bit, forced him to throw on the move a little bit more and picked him off 3 times. Well, that's a learning experience.
Yeah.
So it's a situation. I know Westfall's going through some injury at the quarterback position. This Gibson kid, don't know much about him, but he's obviously putting up some big numbers. So I believe he's just sophomore. So I think in the quarterback position, that I think you make a fair point there, Bruce. On the one end, you get the experienced quarterback that you're as a coach, you're saying, hey, we need you to step up and carry us here. Then on the other side, you start to get some of these young, talented kids. You can see the talent. You can see the potential. And every now and then, there's just a learning experience that they have to go through. And I think that's all the fun thing about sports, because at each stage of your career, there's something to learn.
Yep, yep. Well, are we kind of back where we were, where we started with Zane Trace, Paint Valley, you know, and is Piketon making you a believer? Did Unioto prove you anything different there?
You know, wow, to go to your first thing on the Zane Trace Paint Valley, it does kind of seem that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, sometimes in the non-league, because everybody has a different type of schedule and so forth, you're trying to fill everything out and see where you're at. But then all of a sudden, yeah, I think what happened a little bit, Bruce, and I've said this a couple times on the round table as well as SVC Sports Talk, when the Hail Mary was caught, Logan Elm versus Zane Trace,
yeah,
I think we all overreacted just a little bit. I really do. Obviously, Waverly's really, really good. They just beat someone like 50-0 the other night again. You know, so I think Zane Trace is still really good. The fact that Zane Trace has already beaten Unioto now as well is a giant step, even just 1 week in the league play. The Paint Valley Unioto matchup taking place here this next week will go a long way. And maybe telling us that. But sure, I've seen enough in the parity that a Unioto, Piketon with that offense, even Huntington with the offense and their ability to score points, there's some scary teams. Adina's offensive line, gosh, I could go down the list here. Southeastern's obviously beating some people, Westfall, so forth. So, I mean, every team seems far more capable, where in the past, Bruce, it was more of, hey, really, it comes down to these one or two games. This year, yeah, maybe it still comes down to a Zane Trace Paint Valley head-to-head or a Paint Valley Union head-to-head. But make no mistake about it, I think there's a lot of different teams out there that, even though they may be a 2-5, 3-4 football team, are still capable on a given Friday night of really shaking the league race up a little bit.
Yeah, we'll know more after this Friday night, I'm sure. Or maybe not. It's clear as mud sometimes, isn't it? Anyway, yeah. Let's head up on over to the Hurry Up offense.
Yeah, let's do so. We always have this brought to the fans by Crown Hill, one of our great sponsors there. And Crown Hill, we want to let people know it's located up off of 9500 U.S. Route 22 west in Williamsport. That's just minutes from Route 104. Give them a call, 740-986-GOLF. So, again, the host of our SVC match number 5 here just recently, give them a call, 740-986-4653. And, you know, obviously this week, Bruce, I'll be flying solo here in the Hurry Up offense. But we have 4 good questions. We'll kind of open it back up to all sports this week. So let's go ahead and get going with our Hurry Up offense.
6 weeks to play, do you think the SVC Football League ends in a gold ball, a 6-1 outright champion, a co-champion, or the rarely seen tri-champion?
Well, that question will really get your head spinning, because can I choose all of the above? I mean, it just seems like, you know, that there's a lot of scenarios out there when you think we still have a long way to go. But I guess with Zane Trace is probably the one team that jumps out at you as the opportunity to win a gold ball, although I'm sure Paint Valley would like to have something to say about that. I think the Paint Valley Unioto game will go a long way in letting us know. If Paint Valley is able to win, then yeah, we might be looking at last year's scenario where Zane Trace Paint Valley head-to-head is what it's going to come down to. But let's say Unioto is able to go into Paint Valley on homecoming night and knock the Bearcats off. Well, now we have a different scenario where it's either going to be a Zane Trace running the table, or then you open up that tri-champion scenario if no one else is able to step up and get one of them. So I guess the feeling is probably it's Zane Trace's to lose, but I think if Paint Valley is able to go ahead and protect their home field, I certainly think they have every right to that gold ball scenario or that 6-1 co-championship.
Let's look at the same type of question for volleyball. This week, we turn to the second half of league play. At the end, will we be looking at an outright champion, a co-champion, a tri-champion, or the never-seen-before quad champion?
It's crazy to think about that, but it really is a scenario here at the halfway point. You know, the Kelsey Bossert injury has really been the unfortunate headline of 2016 so far, Bruce. It's, you know, she's the talented kid, plays all the way around. Adina off to a great start. They were up there at Sydney Lehman. They win that first match. It'd really be interesting to see where they would be at this point. Even beyond that, Devin Putnam's had some shoulder problems and has only played the back row in some of her matches, and they've dropped some sets that you're not accustomed to seeing them drop. So all of a sudden, Adina kind of opens the door up. Uniota jumps in there and takes advantage. They were in the driver's seat. Well, here comes Southeastern, and then now Huntington quietly sitting here at 10-1 overall. They're going to get a chance at home to play. So, again, like I said, the Paint Valley Uniota football game, I think the Adina-Huntington volleyball match will kind of let us know where we're at the halfway point. I still feel like Adina and Uniota, if healthy, and that's the big if healthy, Adina, Uniota will kind of fight this thing out right there in that 13-1 area. And I think I certainly think one of them can get to that 13-1 mark. If you get to 12-2, it's probably not going to be outright.
Several SVC schools were in action at the Aaron Reed Memorial Cross Country Invite at Southeastern this past weekend. What headline stands out to you after looking over the results?
Well, I think the first thing that has to jump out at you is pretty much all the SVC teams in action. You know, Uniota sweeping the event. But beyond that, obviously some of the Uniota runners led by Tucker Marco there on the boys' side and Haley Wright on the girls' side. I think beyond that, it was impressive to me to see this is your one chance early in the year, Bruce, to see where did the other SVC runners stack up. You see Emmett Cunningham, the good freshman there from Adina, or Austin Taylor from Piketon, or Andrew Grace from Zane Trace. You get a chance to see, well, what are their times looking like against a Marco of Uniota or a West of Uniota or a Hacker of Uniota and so forth. And then you go over to the girls' side, and again, it's a lot of the same thing. You get a chance to see Ivy Beam of Zane Trace wins it with a time of just over 20 minutes there, just ahead of a couple Chillicothe Lady Cavaliers, and then Haley right there in that fourth spot I mentioned before. But Trap of Westfall, work your way on down the list, and you get some more Westfall Uniota kids. Merck of Adina, I know, won a race early on. So it's a chance to see, okay, Uniota is as good as we thought, but it's also a chance to see where do some of the other individuals from these other schools stack up, and that's what's going to be interesting in filling out our all-league squad for cross-country here as we get closer and closer to the SVC cross-country meet, which I believe is at Westfall this year.
Over the last 20 years, it is normally the Uniota golf team using its depth to take control of the league. This year, it is Piketon getting contributions from the entire lineup. What is your outlook for Piketon throughout the rest of the fall?
Well, the depth that I talked about earlier in the show certainly makes them a lock to finish off this particular year in the SVC title. It'll be interesting to see. They don't technically give away the golden golf ball, but it'll be interesting to see if they can run the table and win them all. The one thing I'll throw out there, this has really hurt teams like Uniota in the past, Bruce. You might remember me talking about this, is Piketon will only get to play five in the tournament. So their sixth man has been really, really valuable to them throughout their SVC leading season so far. So obviously we know a lot about DJ Graham, Casey Moore, Steven Zimmerman, we mentioned the other night. But, you know, Colton Blakeman and Jamie Clifford and Denzel Endicott, those guys have been just as valuable. Each of them have had matches where they've picked those top three up. I think the coach has a tough, tough decision to play because it comes time to come to that tournament and one of those guys have to sit. Will it be the same throughout? Will they qualify? Every coach has different philosophies there. But that'll be a trick to kind of, balance all that out. But certainly a golf team that's more than capable of making some noise deep into the postseason.
And that is our Hurry Up Offense, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call and tell them that Shane sent you an SVC Sports Talk. Shane, I have hard enough time wrapping my mind around a tri-champion, but when you start talking about a quad champion, that's really hard to think in terms of. Do you stay up nights thinking about this?
No, well, here's the thing. You throw that in there because it is fun at the halfway point to see four teams so close. that's not really going to be a possibility, I don't think. You'd have to really get some of those top four beating up on each other. Now, the tri-championship certainly could be, but it's going to take a Huntington or Southeastern knocking off of Uniad or Edina. And again, if Edina's healthy, I'll still stay in my preseason prediction that Uniota would be probably the only team that could beat them. Now, as soon as I say that, I might go over Tuesday night and watch Huntington beat them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's the beauty of sports. But if Edina is able to be at full strength, I still think, but obviously they're not. And from what I understand, they're not going to be because Bossert's pretty much out for the year is what I'm understanding. So it's fun to see four teams of that quality, and not to even rule out what Piketon is capable of doing. Is Zane Trace beat Edina one of the sets the other night when Putnam was unable to hit in the front row. So Zane Trace sitting here 7-7 overall. I think I tweeted out or put on Facebook the other day, Bruce, our volleyball league, I don't have this in front of me, I want to say they're sitting at 36-12 in the non-league. Paint Valley has a winnable game coming up here this week. I see a couple other. We have a chance to push that up over 40 wins and only 12 losses. And keep in mind, that's with Edina playing like Division One Mount Vernon the other day, and they go up and play in the Sidney Lehman Classic. And I know Logan Elm's really good this year, Gallia Academy. So you're talking a lot of D2 schools in there. So yeah, our volleyball program has been more than worthy of gets across Southeast Ohio. And remember, we said in our preview show, are they down this year or not? Well, evidently not.
Yeah, obviously. Well, I envision this room in your house just loaded with papers stuck to the wall and whiteboards and everything as you play this out, because
I wish I was that organized.
It's kind of all in the head then, I think, right?
Yeah, okay. Which is scary.
Well, as usual, we would like to give you information about how you can give us some thought, or your thoughts, rather, and that is through contacting us. Shane is probably most accessible at his email address, and that is admin1@svcsportzone.com. He maintains two profiles on Facebook. And then you can also follow him, and we'd like for you to do so, at svcsportzone.com. That is his Twitter handle. And then
Bruce, I didn't put this on the list for you. I just noticed I've been trying to use Shoutomatic more.
Yeah, yeah.
Up to about almost 70,000 listens now over the time I've used that. So, I mean, fans seem to be enjoying that. So I am going to try to utilize that a little bit more here now that the SBC football is starting and we only have four sites to follow.
Yeah, and that's not as widely used as Twitter or Facebook or even email or anything like that. But what it is, folks, is that it's just a site to which Shane subscribes, where he uses when he's out, needs to file a story, so to speak, and so forth. He actually does so via his phone. And then at the point that is done, there's a tweet that goes out that says, have a shout, and you can go and actually listen to the audio file via the link.
So they really just need to follow me on Twitter, and that takes care of everything.
Well,
and like you said, I'm able to give a more detailed version sometimes of an update with my voice than I am in a short tweet.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a way of using Twitter to get you to a more detailed description of what's going on. So that's what that is. And it's not as widely used, but boy, it has been helpful. Obviously, if you've got 70,000 listeners, over the time that we've been using it, it sure is a big help, I think. And Derek, while he's not here, you can reach him through email at dweb@chillicothegazette.com. And then we always give him grief about his Twitter, but he is a great follow on Twitter. Just all kinds of information coming out there. And he gets the athletes involved quite a bit on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
So you can see that. And his handle there is @DW1509. And then if you want to call and leave us a voicemail with a gripe, complaint, attaboy, whatever you want to do, you can do so at the DBK Media Services listener line. And that number is 740-569-3254. It's basically just a voicemail. You can lead us there. We'd like to ask that you subscribe to SVC Sports Zone and SVC Sports Talk. from SVC Sports Zone. And you can do that with a podcatcher on your iPhone, or I'm sure there are other podcatchers on Android. I'm not as familiar with those. You just subscribe within the podcatcher, and it will automatically go out and download our podcast and have it ready for you, hopefully Tuesday morning if everything goes well. You can also do so if you go to the DBK Media Services to any of the episodes. There's within that posting, if you will, a place where you put your email. You can then get an email. If you put your email in there, hit submit or subscribe, and then you'll get an email right away from Google, who then verifies that it's a legitimate email address. And then henceforth, you will always get an email when we publish a new episode, so you won't miss us. You can find SVC Sports Talk, of course, in the iTunes store. And if you get a chance, you can give us a great rating and a favorable review. That would be great. I think we've got actually two reviews out there right now, Shane. So two reviews for 6 years, but hopefully that'll increase as we mention it again. We'll move now to our post-game comments. And this, again, brought to you by CNK Athletic Equipment at www.cnkathleticequipment.com. It's your place for local school apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and all kinds of sports equipment. Give them a call at 740-477-9828. And normally, we would then ask Derek. This is where we'd ask Derek, what's going on this week? And the only thing that we know about Derek is that he will be, Lord willing, at the round table this Wednesday night. So Shane will also be there. So Shane, why don't you kind of fill us in on the round table, what you know about it?
I believe this week is our Southeastern Panthers visit, and I'll be back at Jerry's. They alternate back and forth, Schlegel's Coffee House and then Jerry's. And then the following week, we'll move back there to the coffee house with, I believe it's a Dean at that point. So this week, it'll be Southeastern. So getting a look, a great chance to talk to Coach Evan Gallagher and the great job he's doing there at Southeastern. So we'll get that opportunity. And I'll tell you, it's been a lot of fun. I know they had some hiccups technology-wise the first couple of weeks, but you can now go on the website. I know they have the Huntington one posted. They have the we said Uniota this past week, and I know a lot of people are listening, because I'll get some comments on that too. And it's neat to start to hear people talk about things that we're talking about on both SVC Sports Talking and the Roundtable. So I think the two things are really complementing each other well.
A lot of crossover, and that is posted. You look for a link on the Chillicothe Gazette's website. Yes. And then I think also you typically have a tweet with the link in it as well when that comes out.
Usually it's if you're wanting to find it, you're going to find it, because I mean, usually we have it throughout Twitter. There's times I put it on the website. It's right there on the Chillicothe Gazette website on the sports page. It'll easily put a article, has a big old football on it. It'll say Roundtable week 3-4, whatever it is. So yeah, it's certainly something that you would enjoy. And like I always say with our show, the beauty of the podcast is listen to it 10-15 minutes at a time, whatever you got to do throughout the week, and it's there for you. So it's kind of at your own convenience.
And it really puts your some of you guys, your panelists, feet to the fire by making picks too.
It really does. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. Hey, I had a pretty good week this week. I think I lost. I tried to go with my homer pick, being the Uniota grad there. I kind of went against my football brain, because you heard me pick Zane Trace early in the year. But I lost that one. And then, gosh, I lost to Louisville, Florida State. Florida State got whooped, didn't
they? Yes, they did. Yeah. They did.
But other than that, I was able to gain some ground, hopefully, this week. Because, like as I mentioned there, my good friend Derek didn't have a very good weekend there with his beloved Bengals today. And then, right, like I said, you know, him being a Notre Dame fan, probably he was raised to root against the Buckeyes, and it cost him last night.
Yep, it sure did. It sure did. Okay, well, let's talk about SVC Sports Zone and what fans can be looking for this week.
Well, I think in Huntington, you certainly have to take a look at Huntington, or in volleyball, excuse me, volleyball, you have to look at Huntington with them playing home matches with Adina Pike. And going to go a long way to determine where they're at. Mentioned golf. Pay attention to those bottom 6-7 spots, as there's really no room for error. I believe that's Wednesday night at JC's is number six. And then on the football side, it's hard to look past Uniota Paint Valley game coming up. It's a homecoming week in Bainbridge. That's going to be a great game. It's a must win for Uniota in terms of them staying in the league race. They can't afford to start 0-2, especially since they've already lost to Zane Trace. And then for Paint Valley, it's a chance for them to really set themselves up to compete with Zane Trace for the league title. And then obviously we'll continue to follow tennis, cross country, soccer, as we always do on those home pages. So you know, check those out. But Bruce, I know I had to a lot more talking, so people probably be ready to have Derek back next week, but certainly appreciate, as always, you getting a lot of the audio together for us so that we could highlight those Lady Panthers. And really a lot of fun this week on SVC Sports Talk, and look forward to another great show next week. So I did
miss Derek, though.
Yes, so we'll in the chair right across from us here next week, and by then we should really have a better sense of this football and volleyball race. So look forward to it. So fans, and until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, wherever he is in the state of Ohio this evening, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportZone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.